From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Perspective with Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Perspective. I'm Jesse Zurawell, your host for the hour. I'm flying solo once again today, and I would like to resume my examination of what's been going on in Israel with regard to the metaverse and the imposition of the metaverse onto education, the so-called education sector. And this is the third installment of this examination. The first you can find back in the TNT archives on September 16th of this year. And the second was last week on October 18th. And just to summarize, what brought this to my attention was a press release published in Bloomberg, picked up from Access Wire, about an entity called Glimpse Israel being selected by the Israel Ministry of Education as a key partner for its Metaverse Lab program. In the first and second installments, I went through what Glimpse is based on its own description on its own website. I went through what it's involved in terms of not just education, but also military, intelligence, commerce, many sectors. And in the last installment, I started to get into where this is coming from, or where it seems to be coming from based on my research. And it seems to be coming from the United Nations. And I pointed out in that installment, and I believe in the first one as well, that this is by no means isolated to Israel. This is an agenda that is being rolled out in many, many countries in the world. It's being rolled out in many African countries. It's being rolled out in Russia, in China, in the US, many others. And this is made quite evident. And of course, this is if the information believed on this website is to be believed, but this is made quite evident by the website of the UN's Transforming Education Knowledge Hub, which is centered around Sustainable Development Goal 4. It's quite a long URL, but I will read it out so you can check it out yourself. It's transformingeducationsummit.sdg4education2030.org. And that's SDG, the number 4, education 2030, the year, in numeric form, .org. The Sustainable Development Goals agenda has a seemingly endless amount of websites, and this is yet another one. And I went through last week what this knowledge hub with regard to SDG 4 is all about. I highlighted that SDG 4 is quality education, although if you drill down into that, there are many, many targets involved in that. So it's not just this bland descriptor of quality education. There are target sub-goals, if you will, beneath the surface main goal of quality education. And it's quality education on a worldwide scale. That's what the agenda is. And the sales pitch, of course, is quality education. But based on my research, I think it has everything to do with the fourth industrial revolution, so-called, and educating the workforce of tomorrow, if you will, the workforce that will build out fourth industrial revolution infrastructure, that will run and maintain that infrastructure, and that will at the same time be imprisoned by that infrastructure. And I'm not saying that it's just the students being targeted by these targets who are susceptible to this, who will be corralled into this. It's all of us on some level. It's parents of students, it's educators, it's administrators, it's those of us who, like myself, do not have kids, but know people who do, and who are seeing what is being taught in schools, in these indoctrination centers, and how it's being taught, the technologies that are being brought in the name of innovation, in the name of enhanced learning, in the name of lifelong skills building. And it has an impact on all of us. And it's something that is plowing full steam ahead, despite what is happening in terms of what could be reductively referred to as geopolitical conflicts, despite the war on Gaza, the latest phase of the war on Palestine, despite the war in Ukraine. And I don't think that those wars exist separate or are taking place separate from what I'm talking about here. I can't say that they stem from what is being done here in terms of the UN Sustainable Development Goals and what the targets of those goals are tentacling out to various sectors, if you will, education being one of them. But I do think that these crisis situations, again, to put it reductively, because there's much more than a crisis going on. I do think that these situations are very useful for this agenda in terms of big data collection, in terms of using that data collection for impact investing, to steer behavior through tokenization, especially through blockchain technology, be that centralized or so-called decentralized blockchain technology, and to push as much of human relations as possible into the so-called metaverse. Economic relations, social relations, just basic social relations, one-on-one interaction, socio-emotional relations, psychological experiences, everything. It's something we should look at in terms of empire building, digital empire building, virtual reality, augmented reality, empire building, that of course has many overlaps with transhumanism and posthumanism. And right now, what's happening on the ground in occupied Palestine, in Gaza, and the West Bank, what is happening in the part of occupied Palestine that is called Israel, is creating a lot of opportunity for big data collection, a lot of opportunity for complex problem solving in terms of seeing how masses of people react to highly stressed situations and how they come together themselves or under the influence of enterprises to solve those problems. And what this complex problem solving, this complex collective problem solving is building toward, I think, and I think there's a lot of evidence for this, and I've been trying to lay out the evidence, is the further building out of a global digital panopticon, or a global brain, if you will. And I argue that it's important to look at what's happening in Palestine, look at what's happening in Ukraine and many other places in the world, look at what's happening in the US with regard to the so-called migrant crisis as, again, not being driven by the UN Sustainable Development Goals, but subsumed by the UN Sustainable Development Goals and similar agendas. These crises, again, to use that simplistic term, are very useful for this agenda. And I haven't seen any evidence that these crises are manufactured in order to pursue these agendas, but it's a possibility, and I don't exempt it from the realm of possibility. So all of that is to say why this is important to pay attention to. It might sound esoteric or obscure or unrelated to what is dominating the news, and rightfully, I would say, dominating the news at this point. But I think we need to, again, remember that these agendas are plowing along full steam ahead, no matter what. And they, in fact, welcome these expected or unexpected contingencies like the war on Palestine, and find them very useful in furthering their agendas. That said, it seems to me that what is going on in Israel with regard to the Glimpse Group being selected by the Israel Ministry of Education as a key partner for its Metaverse Lab program back in February of this year stems from the UN and UN Sustainable Development Goal 4 at the minimum, and a commitment that was made by Israel and many, many other countries around the world. If you look at the consultations page of that long URL I gave you previously for the Transforming Education Summit, if you look at the consultations page, it is, the map on there is dotted with countries who have made either national statements of commitment or have demonstrated good practices, have provided data for this agenda. And it spans from Canada to the US to Latin America to South America to Africa to Western Europe to the Eastern Mediterranean to West Asia, to Russia, to China, to the South Pacific. Safely, we could say globally. There are, of course, a few areas that are exempt or seem to be exempt, like Greenland. But for the most part, it's safe to say that this is a global agenda. So I'm not singling out Israel here. But it is important to note that Israel is at the forefront of Web3 development, at the forefront of blockchain technology development with lots of international collaboration. And so it's important to look at the hubs where these agendas or sub-agendas being driven by the UN are being rolled out. And Israel is one of those places. Now, why I think this is coming from directly from the UN stems from the National Statement of Commitment that Israel gave to the Transforming Education Summit back in October of 2022. And it was just several months later, in February of 23, that the Glimpse Group was brought in for this metaverse education project. And last week, I started to get into the National Statement of Commitment, which can be found at, again, the Transforming Education Summit website, that long URL I provided just a bit earlier. And I started to read through this National Statement of Commitment, and I think it's instructive to do so because it demonstrates many things, how many things that have happened, especially over the last 3 years, have been not just built upon, but seem to have been driven into existence for this agenda, this metaverse, global digital panopticon, global brain agenda. And it's very interesting too to see how it's spun in terms of the COVID-19 operation being this organic, unexpected global crisis that emerged, and it created all this disruption, not just in the economic sphere, but in the educational sphere, in the psychological sphere. And if we understand what I argue is the truth based on facts and research that I've done, and research that many, many others have done, and the facts they've presented, that the COVID-19 operation has been anything but organic and a planned event carried out, then we can see how part of what, at least part of what that operation was designed to do, has been designed to do, is to push this digital everything world into every sphere, including education. So I want to return to the Transforming Education Summit National Statement of Commitment put forth by the Permanent Mission of Israel to the United Nations in October of 2022. And it begins as follows, and I'll pause here and there to flesh some things out and provide my independent analysis, my sometimes subjective and sometimes I think objective analysis. Here we go. As in many other countries over the world, the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted every aspect of our lives and had a profound impact on the education system in Israel. Social distancing measures that were taken during the past 2 years have taken a toll on pupils' well-being and achievements. Research conducted in Israel and worldwide has shown an increase in pupils' and teachers' emotional distress and risk behaviors. Yet, despite the potential negative impact of the pandemic, this research has also shown that certain protective measures can affect the outcome for both individuals and education systems. So in this first paragraph, it's admitted, at the very least implied, that throughout the COVID-19 operation, research has been conducted in Israel and worldwide on pupils and teachers' emotional distress and risk behaviors stemming from the COVID-19 operation. So there was a cybernetic aspect at play, has been a cybernetic aspect at play throughout the COVID-19 operation in terms of monitoring, collecting big data, and refining the system, if you will, based on feedback gleaned from that data. And in this case, the focus is on pupils and teachers' emotional distress and risk behaviors. As I pointed out last week, the clause, despite the potential negative impact of the pandemic, is objectively preposterous. There's been nothing but negative impacts from the quote-unquote pandemic, or better said, the COVID-19 operation. But right off the bat, we're having this framed as there was this organic global health event, and it created all this turmoil, and we monitored this turmoil, and now we're going to put systems in place to address that turmoil. But to what end? And to what end, I can only speculate, and I have in the past, and I would recommend checking out the first two installments of this ongoing series now it's become, to get a sense of my speculation. But moving on here with the statement, accordingly, the Israel Ministry of Education has adopted a twofold approach. One, identifying and addressing the negative impacts of the pandemic with emphasis on vulnerable populations. Now, vulnerable populations are key, especially in terms of producing big data for impact investing, and especially for deploying technologies like blockchain-based technologies, surveillance technologies that are, of course, pitched in the name of resilience, of recuperation, but seem to be about anything but those. Now, maybe they provide some on some level, but this seems much more about building something bigger that does not have to do with human well-being, or if it does have to do with human well-being, it has to do with human well-being as the UN defines human well-being through its sustainable development goals. And if you drill down into those goals and their targets, a very specific word chosen, I think, targets of these goals, it is not about the well-being of people. It's about optimizing people toward something bigger. And again, what that bigger thing is, I can only speculate. Of course, control is part of this, but is it just about control? Does everything come back to control? I don't know, but control is very much at play here. So vulnerable populations. The second part of the twofold approach is reimagining and reinventing education by investigating the positive impacts of the pandemic. I'm not aware that there were any, such as new teaching methods and facilitating their development and enhancements. Enhancement. So to frame new teaching methods like remote learning or digital learning, metaverse learning as a positive impact of the pandemic, I wouldn't say that's a positive impact, neither positive nor an impact, but a result of the operation, an intended result of the operation. These methods have been disastrous in terms of student learning, in terms of their psychological health, in terms of their physical health. So nothing positive there. And again, I would not say an impact, but an intended results. With these two approaches, the Ministry of Education perceives the educational ecosystem and the stakeholders within it as crucial partners in policymaking and its implementation. Therefore, national consultations are a key component implemented regularly. Both research and national consultations inform the insights presented and the policy steps. The present document aims to provide insight into the main policy steps taken by the Israel Ministry of Education in both of these directions. So, in terms of research and national consultations informing the insights presented herein and the policy steps taken based off of those insights, I think it's safe to say the Glimpse Group is a result of the research and national consultations that have supposedly informed the insights presented and policy steps laid out in this statement of commitment. So the commitment then goes on to present the insight and policy steps with more of a focus on the policy steps. And there is a section A identifying and addressing the negative impacts of the pandemic with emphasis on, once again, vulnerable populations. And the subsection of this policy is subsection one, developing and implementing a socio-emotional learning and violence prevention program. Findings from an HBSC Health Behavior in School-Age Children survey conducted in Israel during the pandemic, as well as national surveys of school counselors and teachers, provide insight regarding pupils and teachers. So again, the research, the monitoring, the data collection was being done during, I hesitate to say, the worst days, the worst years of the COVID-19 operation, because those may unfortunately still be ahead of us. But for now, let's say the worst days, there was a lot of cybernetics taking place. The main finding indicates that during the pandemic, pupils' sense of belonging and safety at school declined, and that many experience daily emotional symptoms such as depression and anxiety. In addition, the findings indicate that many teachers experienced high levels of psychopathology, demonstrating symptoms of depression, anxiety, and somatization, which, as I mentioned last week, refers to so-called psychosomatic manifestations. Our review revealed that this phenomenon is a global phenomenon that affects pupils and teachers worldwide. The SEL and Violence Prevention Program emphasizes three main goals. And SEL is socio-emotional learning. And this is getting into the psyches of students, the minds of students and educators as well. And I would say, by extension, parents too. So we're having the cognitive domain mind here. Mind as in M-I-N-E-D. So what are the three main goals? One, strengthening educators' sense of belonging, well-being, and resilience. Two, providing pupils with a supportive environment where they can rebuild and strengthen social and emotional skills, reconnect with peers and significant adults, and re-engage with school routines. Three, strengthening the partnership between parents and educators. Now, if the Glimpse partnership is any indication of what these three main goals, how they're going to be achieved, quote unquote, it's going to be through, or largely through, the metaverse, which is only, I argue, going to provide a further sense, a further exacerbation of the vulnerabilities that led us to this point. And perhaps that is the point, to keep this closed system, this cycle, this cybernetic circle going. The second part of the policy is addressing literacy achievement gaps. In April 2022, research conducted by the Israel National Authority for Measurement and Evaluation in Education, again here, think big data collection, highlighted literacy achievement gaps that emerged and deepened during the pandemic. Most worrying are the gaps increased by SES. Now, it's not spelled out here what SES they're referring to, which SES they're referring to. There is socioeconomic status, and there is also socio-emotional state. In as far as I've been able to uncover, they're referring to socioeconomic status here. According to research findings, many of the pupils' performance level has declined to, quote, low, unquote. To address this outcome, the Ministry of Education has developed a new literacy program aimed at, one, setting literacy as a priority for the education system, two, improving the scientific foundation of literacy policy and practice, three, adapting the program to the specific context and culture of each school to improve its effectiveness. So, literacy as a priority for the education system, I don't see anything wrong with that. Literacy is a good thing. But what sort of literacy are they talking about here? Well, it's not spelled out. Is it traditional literacy in terms of being able to read text and not just know how to read text, but understand the text, interpret the text, analyze the text, develop insights from the text? I don't know. But the second point here, improving the scientific foundation of literacy policy and practice, I think speaks to the digital everything component of this, and turning literacy policy and practice, which is clinical sounding enough, into an even more clinical endeavor by improving the so-called scientific foundation of it. And there's the adapting the program to the specific context and culture of each school to improve its effectiveness, which on the surface sounds good. And I'm not saying that it's all bad, but if we think of what the global brain wants, the digital brain, the so-called AI run brain wants, it wants to know adaptiveness. It wants to know individual and collective problem solving. It wants to know as many contingencies as possible in as many contexts as possible to make itself as so-called complete as possible. And I'm not saying that this infrastructure is running on its own or has its own mind. It's being programmed by people, but the programming is intended to get as much in there about us, and especially vulnerable populations, especially traumatized students and their parents and their educators, in this case, as much in there about them as possible. But the pitch is to improve the damage that's been done by this engineered crisis, this engineered operation called COVID-19. So you can see, I hope, the cycle the even tautology at work here. The third part of the policy is addressing teacher shortages. Israel, like many other countries, has been contending with the shortage of teachers for many years. There are indications that the stress of teaching during a pandemic has driven away even more teachers, with a rise in teachers leaving the system and decline in enrollment in teacher education programs. This trend is predicted to continue in the upcoming years. I would venture a guess, this is speculation on my part, but there's probably a lot of truth embedded in it, that the teacher shortage has something to do with the injection regime that was rolled out in Israel, as in just about every other country in the world. A lot of teachers left the education sector, the education space, because they did not want to be experimented on with God knows what is in these serums. And we know Netanyahu has openly bragged about it, that he offered up Israel to Pfizer as a test bed for these injections, which supposedly contained mRNA and supposedly enter our cells and cause the cells to produce the so-called spike protein, to which there is supposed to be a so-called immune system response. To that, I would say that's probably a big reason why there's a teacher shortage in Israel, as in many other places in the world. And also, as a side note, to check out the work of Dr. Stefano Scolio. He's been drilling down into this, what seems to be a myth about mRNA being in these injections, and the lack of any proof in the scientific literature that mRNA is at work. And if it is indeed at work, that it has any way of reaching our cells and reconfiguring those cells to produce the so-called spike protein. And he points out in his analyses that these lipid nanoparticles, which supposedly contain mRNA, are poisonous enough to produce all of the maiming and death that we've witnessed since these injections have been rolled out. So do take a look at Dr. Stefano Scolio's work if you are able to. It's important to know exactly what we're dealing with and not run away with stories that are presented to us by the very entities who are doing the poisoning, Pfizer, Moderna, etc. They're the ones who put out that this is the mRNA, there is mRNA in here, this is how it functions. And a lot of us, including myself, accepted that without thinking, why are we accepting what they're telling us and believing that it works? And Stefano has been plowing a very lonely furrow in this regard, in terms of actually seeing if what these hideous entities like Pfizer, Moderna are claiming is actually working. And there's no proof in the scientific literature that mRNA is being produced. That mRNA is contained within the lipid nanoparticles, and that it's producing the so-called spike protein. There's a lot of immunohistochemistry that's going on, a lot of indirect measurements that are going on. But for example, no spike protein, so-called, has ever been isolated directly from the blood of somebody injected with one of these toxic serums. Now, why is that? Is that because there's an inability to do it? Is it because nobody has ever tried? Why are these indirect methods of immunohistochemistry being used instead of just going directly to where it said this poisonous component is circulating? I'm not saying I have the answer to it, but Stefano is trying to find the answer or answers to that, and it's well worth looking at. Now, that was quite a bit of a tangent, but important to bring in terms of the injections, in terms of why there is probably why there is a huge teacher shortage in Israel. With the understanding that teacher shortages are a multidimensional problem, the Israel Ministry of Education is working to address this challenge on several levels. One, increasing teacher salaries. Two, improving the physical and technological infrastructure for teachers' work. Three, forming personalized development opportunities, e.g., lifelong learning and unique training courses and professional development programs. So that's lifelong learning on a path for the fourth industrial revolution, lifelong skilling and reskilling for the fourth industrial revolution in the education space. Number four, strengthening the relationship between the schools and the community and parents. And it's notable to me that that comes last. You would think that would be the first one, strengthening the community relationship, if you will, the relationship between the schools and the community and parents. But that seems to be the least of the priorities here. Now, B, in terms of these policies, and I realize there's a lot of numbers and subsections here, it gets very convoluted. And that's why I recommend reading this for yourself. Again, it can be found at the Transforming Education Summit website. B, in terms of policy, based on the research that was done during the worst days of the COVID-19 operation, the data that was collected. B is reimagining and reinventing education by investigating the positive impacts of the pandemic and facilitating their development and enhancement. And this is where Glimpse and the Metaverse program come in. And this is not to say that Glimpse is the only entity involved here. It's a major one. It has ties to military and intelligence. And thus, we need to ask, what is being done here? What is this building toward? Again, I don't know the answer to that. I can only speculate. I've done so in the past. And I'll again recommend you to the previous two episodes I did. So subsection one of this policy B is strengthening high school social sciences and humanities studies. In light of the challenges and changing reality the education system has faced in recent years, a new reform has been implemented to strengthen the social sciences and humanities studies in high school. In this respect, a national consultation process took place involving educators, teachers and school leaders, parents and pupils' representatives, local authorities, academics, and teachers' organizations. A refinement of educational goals and pedagogy is required to enable the provision of improved educational services across the entire education system, pupils, and educational staff. The Israeli education system aims to cultivate pupils' knowledge, skills, and values and support them in shaping their identity, developing their independence and emotional and social resilience, and fulfilling their potential. Potential for what is not made clear. This, in order for them to become contributing citizens to their community, society, and country. And this is to be read, I argue, as contributors to building and running the fourth industrial revolution. This is not the old days of developing their independence and emotional and social resilience and fulfilling their potential to do their civic duty in terms of fundraisers at high schools or volunteer work at care homes. This is about something much, much bigger. The noted reform is multifaceted in its focus: better integrating knowledge, skills, and values, better connecting between disciplines, developing and implementing comprehensive interdisciplinary studies, and reinforcing the relevance of learning to pupils' daily lives alongside ensuring a better fit to their future needs. This reform reinforces the status and importance of social sciences and humanities and allows teachers and learners greater pedagogical autonomy by combining disciplinary infrastructure studies with a multidisciplinary final project. Pupils must produce at the end of their studies, replacing the matriculation exams taken previously by every pupil. The reform's use of digital tools further enhances teachers' and learners' autonomy while maintaining clear and high standards with a national LMS system. What is LMS? LMS is a learning management system. And as defined by Wikipedia, a learning management system is a software application for the administration, documentation, tracking, reporting, automation, and delivery of educational courses, training programs, materials, or learning and development programs. The learning management system concept emerged directly from e-learning. So we can see how this learning management system, management being a key word, system also being a key word, we can see how this builds off of the e-learning layer, which was pushed a lot in the late 2000s, early 2010s, still being pushed quite a bit, but LMS seems to be more fashionable, more popular nowadays. And learning management systems are being built by all sorts of entities, including Adobe. Adobe has Adobe Learning Manager. There's Talent LMS. 360 Learning is another big one. Do a search for learning management systems and take a look at this yourself, and you'll see how deep this goes. And I think what it's really about, it is indeed about managing a system and using students and educators as part of that. And of course, as this statement of commitment points out, this is using digital tools. And the pitch is it's going to further enhance teachers and learners' autonomy. But when you start to look at, drill down into what's involved in these digital tools, what they do in terms of creating digital twins, avatars, learning from the users, and learning to perhaps replace the users, well, that doesn't exactly comport with autonomy. The second sub-policy of Policy B is school autonomy reform. The Israeli school system reform will decentralize decision-making and provide the local and school levels expanded managerial and pedagogical responsibilities, as well as flexibility in the organization of the learning. Now, this is very much in line with decentralized ledger technology, decentralized autonomous organizations, or DAOs. This so-called decentralized infrastructure and ecosystem that is being sold to us under the banner of Web3, which overlooks, I think purposely so, a lot of centralization that is built into this. A process of national consultation was taken involving mainly school leaders, local authorities, academics, and experts. So no mention in there of students or their parents or educators, academics. I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but academics are the people in the proverbial ivory towers who are more so involved with studying behavior and helping to build systems to manage that behavior. Experts, what kind of experts is not made clear. The underlying assumption of this reform is that school leaders and district leaders have a better understanding of their community needs and the ability to allocate educational resources more efficiently. During the COVID-19 pandemic crisis, it was emphasized that local and school level decisions were more accurate, timely, and precise than those made by others. In addition, research indicates that autonomy promotes and enhances the school community resilience and well-being, a major priority of the Israeli education system post COVID-19. So again, playing upon resilience, playing upon well-being, and it does not seem to me that those are the primary concerns, if they're concerns at all. And there's no definition of resilience or well-being laid out either. So what are we supposed to make of that? The third policy, and the final one, is improving the education system's ability to identify dropout risk. Over the years, the Israeli education system has improved its ability to identify pupils at risk of dropping out and has created many unique programs for such pupils. The current dropout rate stands at about 0.5%. This notwithstanding, COVID-19 has created unique challenges with respect to pupils' engagement in learning, whether online or physically at schools. Quote, latent dropouts, unquote, refers to the large number of pupils who do not attend school regularly, have low achievements, and suffer from severe academic, emotional, personal, and social problems that make it difficult for them to maintain their studies and succeed at school. This past year, the Israel Ministry of Education have been developing a statistical measure that will assist schools to identify at-risk pupils in the early stages of disattachment and to create a customized intervention program. Now, there is one more policy at work here, the fourth and last one, and it has to do with climate change. Extreme weather and climate events are increasing in frequency and intensity due to climate change. According to the IPCC 2022 report, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, human-caused greenhouse gas emissions are a major cause of climate change. Consequently, we experience extreme weather events and climate changes. Tautology there, once again. The Israeli Ministry of Education recognizes the importance of developing pupil skills and capabilities to cope with the consequences of climate change. A global crisis like the COVID-19 crisis highlights the need for pupils to be aware, emotionally resilient, and responsible. Taking action to reduce these rapid and extreme changes requires knowledge, values, and skills fit to cope with them. Taking into account those needs, the Israeli education system will introduce climate change studies as a newly added curriculum to all pupils starting next year, meaning 2023. In this program, pupils will be involved in community projects and take part in pupil initiatives. And that is the complete Israel National Statement of Commitment to Transforming Education under the banner of Sustainable Development Goal 4. So hopefully it's clear how the UN is driving this. The UN, of course, and its public-private partnerships with entities like Glimpse, and how this is building a system of collective complex problem solving, using people, vulnerable populations to do so, people who've been intentionally victimized and made vulnerable by, in this case, the COVID-19 operation, and how this contributes to the building of the global digital panopticon, the global brain, and toward what end, I don't know. As I've said multiple times throughout this installment, I can only speculate. This will certainly not be the last time looking at Web3 and blockchain, etc., especially with regard to Israel. But I think it's important to look at these types of agendas that are going full steam ahead while many other things, rightfully or wrongly, are dominating the news headlines. Thank you for being with me today, and I'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Peace.